Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns on individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Hey, kids, Shake Them Ropes. Rob McCarron traveling the streets of Nashville looking for apple cider, hard ciders, in various bars. Go follow him on Instagram. He wrote a funny update that Kid Rock's bar has no ciders on tap or in cans. I'm Jeff Hawkins. Joining me this week, I'm going to go with domesticated David Griffin, founder of the Soda Pop Comics podcast, covering all the week's releases from Marvel's X-Men and DC's Absolute Comics. I love this last line you wrote for your intro. Joe Lanza told Dave his nerdy BS would never be on the Voices of Wrestling Network. So I, Jeff, called him up in the spirit of building bridges. Now, look, Dave, I don't BS my listeners. I don't build bridges. I just burn them and move on.
Well, I'll bring the bridge building today,
okay,
brother.
Cool. So let's get a plug up top for your Soda Pop Comics podcast then.
Yeah, Soda Pop Comics is basically, I was a lifetime chef and restaurant guy who became a single dad of two special needs kids through a very complicated sequence of events. And now they're getting to the age where I need to be here every moment of the day for them. And so I decided to pursue publishing comics because that's what I loved the most. And then I'd always been a fan of podcasting, and a few people pulled me aside and said, hey, you should really do this. And long ago, I was pulled into the Voices of Wrestling through the Lucha of the Hidden Temple and Shake Them Ropes. So I am very happy to be here and talking to the Hawk himself. And I had completely given up WWE until Shake Them Ropes convinced me, pulled me back in, and I now watch WWE again. And what did you guys do to my NXT? Like, what happened?
We're in a rebuild. We're in a rebuilding period, I think. I don't.
Okay, but the shock of going from yellow and gold to what we're seeing now was incredible. You guys undersold the transitions.
Did we? Because like 2.0 was dreadful, and then we started to get back on track, and we have some good building blocks, and then we got the Ava. I blame Ava mostly because now it's just another baseless figurehead who's not very good at her job or as a character giving matches. Now before we get into the nuts and bolts of wrestling, how would I put this? What is your framing of wrestling? Like what wrestling got you into wrestling? What's your opinions on things? What do you like? Let's just give a overview of that before we go into that, because I don't know this at this point. We just kind of went with the show.
So my parents were very, very religious, and I mean like fanatically scary religious, like living on a compound religious.
Okay.
And one of the few things we got to watch was wrestling. I don't know why. I don't know how. We didn't have a TV, but we would regularly watch wrestling as like some sort of harmless community interaction. And so all of my, like the only normal memories I have from my early years revolve around Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, the Macho Man. The Macho Man was always my favorite. Okay, I loved the Macho Man.
So you were raised on WWF mostly in the 80s?
Correct.
Okay. Cool. I love your gravelly voice, by the way. I wish I had that. I could make money doing voiceovers and stuff. I just have this nasally thing going. So around, what, the mid-80s, like the WrestleMania 1, 2, 3, and up type of years, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Cool. Now, in my fandom, I have gone back largely at your behest to I'm just telling you, like, the Vader Club is a service that many of us have enjoyed, and you have definitely been a great educator to me in great old-time wrestling.
Tell Rob, because he's just tired of my old-time crap. but no, thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't get WWF for a long, long time on the weekly basis. I had to do it through videotapes, and I was a Crockett kid. So this will be kind of fun, because I think we're roughly of the same age and whatnot. So the big story, I guess, coming out of this week was John Cena's last match. I don't know if you are. Are you a Wrestling Observer subscriber or no?
I am not.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you saw Brian Alvarez's comments on it or not, but I am mostly in line with him. And it made me think, because at first I didn't mind the finish of the match. But then the more I thought about it, it's bad, and it's bad for a couple of reasons. But basically the thing is, he gave up, where his whole gimmick for 20 years has been never give up. And the smile at the end, kind of the wink and nod, I kind of compare it to either, here's a couple of references, either John Voight in Anaconda after he gets thrown up by the snake and he gives that weird knowing wink to the people on the boat, or
good comp,
or Sean Connery at the end of Time Bandits.
Wow.
Where the kid's parents have been like killed by evil and they disappear. And there's just Sean Connery, wink, nod, end credits. And you're just like, what? But the more I thought about it, the more I thought this ending was created for 30 and 40 something message board types. Because it almost feels Carney in a way, and kind of like the wink and nod of, yes, this is fake, and I was never this guy, or it's all a work. Everything's a work. And I don't know if they meant the fourth wall breaking or not, but I wanted to throw that out there as a possibility. What do you think?
I would conject that John Cena was saying to us that there are so many wrestlers who have done so many final matches and so many retirements, and this is not me. I am closing this chapter in the book that is my life. Stay tuned to the DC Cinematic Universe for more John Cena. A guy whose career has been defined by, you know, Cena can't wrestle and all of the best and the worst of WWE. Like, you can't separate the fact that the guy has never once anything, like, has never once shown anything but support for Vince McMahon. And if that dude gets normalized and comes back, it's going to be largely because of Cena and how he just no-sold all that stuff. And I think that he owned this match in that what Triple H said afterwards, as he was getting chanted AEW at him, which broke my heart for the guy. There was a day where I would have been one of those guys in the background doing that. But I have come back to see the numbers don't lie. And there is intense talent in what is done behind the scenes at WWE, if not always in front of the camera. But I definitely tend toward more of a work rate, enjoyment of things. The AEW aesthetic is something I enjoy a lot, but John Cena's total control of having everyone in the palm of his hand. If you've ever gone to a live taping where John Cena comes out, when that man comes out onto that stage, you are 8 years old again, and you are dancing on top of your chair before you ever realize what just happened. And you can't bottle that. And that guy, maybe the fans didn't like the going out on their back that the tradition states. I think that was just his attempt to acknowledge that. He probably likes Gunther. Probably thought they were giving Gunther a raw deal all through the beginning of the year. And decided, that's who I'm going to have tap me out. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was...
The AEW chants at Triple H were interesting. Because I'm still, and this is part and parcel to my theory, I'm still not certain if that was because Cena lost or because the ending was too clever. And boy, I would have much rather seen... I think I'd much rather seen... Because I think John Cena was trying to put out there that he was at peace with the career ending and being choked out. Part of me just wants him to, like, look at a kid and say, I'm sorry, I love you, and get, you know, and get that final choke, much like Flair, you know, have that kind of ending type thing in there.
And I think that's it right there, is that he is telling us, this will not be the Terry Funk 20th final match. This is my bookmark. Hey, one second, if you would. I'm running low on.
And David now has electricity in his computer. Didn't want him going power out while we're recording. Yeah, but were they thinking of an adult audience, or were they thinking of the general audience here? Because it's just one of those things where it just felt like it was too smarky at times. You know, it's like for people in the know, like, and it's an inside joke as opposed to children crying and him being desperate to, you know, be the hero for the kids and stuff like that. That was kind of like, oh, you all watched me for all these years. See ya.
Well, AEW and WWE have kind of influenced each other in bad ways.
Yes.
And WWE has definitely taken on a lot of that being the elite, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more energy that AEW brought to the table.
Yeah, I did want to say something, though, about, because, like, listening to everybody, because I listen, you know, I listen to Dave Meltzer, I listen to Wade occasionally, I listen to other people talk, and when they were talking about John Cena's legacy, they missed what I think was the most important thing in his legacy, because they were just looking at it from, you know, either comparing it to greats of the past or match quality or whatever. And I, you know, we had a, Rob and I had a pretty good talk last week, and I think corporate mascot's a good call there, but I think we totally glossed over how not just awesome, but in a way mentally taxing. He holds the world record for the number of Make-A-Wish requests ever, and he never said no to those. And you watch the videos where, like, you see the kids affected by that, and having worked a little bit and volunteered a little bit with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, you ask people occasionally, and you go, like, the celebrities that are asked and stuff like that, and you are that child's last dying wish. And that has to, I mean, like, John Cena seems to be a blunt instrument in many ways to me. That China-Taiwan thing still lives rent-free in my head from him, where he is just a perfect politician in some ways, where he will not have an opinion on anything if it will hurt his career. But doing all those Make-A-Wish requests, I just think that dude must have the mental strength of that I can't comprehend, to have to deal with, this is maybe the last time I see this child type of a thing. I don't know. I think we don't give him enough credit for that stuff.
Yeah, that was, for many years, I was a firmly Cena sucks member of the audience. And when I blamed him for what all went down with Punk, and I just thought that it was something that he had nothing to offer me. And then as I started getting back into the wrestling fandom and seeing that man through the eyes of my son, and how much it inspired him to love wrestling like Dad did. And he was so motivated to, my son is autistic and really struggles with crowds. So we tried over and over again to get to a live wrestling event that he could stand. And we would go for as long as we could. And I just became very fanatically AEW at the beginning, because I happened to be at All In through the course of trying to get my son to be more involved. And Katie Hebner actually was backstage with AEW and was so incredible and accommodating to my son. And backstage, she looked out for him. And now, after her and how she dealt with him, we can go to wrestling shows. We can't do any other crowds at all, but we can go to wrestling shows, all because he associates that with kindness. And we tried going backstage with WWE once, and it did not go well, with the exception of John Cena being in the building, walking by, not seeing what he liked, and whispering to a few people, solving the problem, and walking on. And I've never forgotten that I saw for a moment the man who is in absolute control of his environment at all times, and he stopped and noticed my son struggling, and with one observation fixed it. And he will always be that man to me, not the guy that Cena sucks, the guy who, underneath all of the weird pathos the man has, he's got something deep, something in that well, which has turned, like, Peacemaker into, like, my favorite comic book show.
Yeah, like I will defend at least the WWE talent, because my co-host on my show on Wednesday, Paul Fontaine, has a special needs child, and the talent there went out of their way to take pictures with her at hotels, and
nice.
he has a good relationship with Becky Lynch through his daughter, and she just treated her like a queen. And you know, sometimes we focus on the nuts and bolts and not enough about the character people. And yeah, sure, John Cena won't condemn Vince McMahon in public, but I just think that's political. I'm sure he has a personal opinion on it, and I get that that makes him somewhat of a moral coward to some people. I understand that. But I'm not gonna ding the guy for that. After all, I mean, I'll ding the guy for that, but I'll call balls and strikes where they are, and people don't give him enough credit for all the charity work he did. So it's just one of those things. I'm gonna be sad to see him go, because it's one of those things where it feels like there aren't those guys in wrestling, because even with Triple H running WWE now, you're not going to have that top of the line brand guy. You're going to have various guys, and Triple H is going to decide who gets their turn here and there. And there's not going to be the mascot of WWE per se. Cody's close. Don't get me. And Roman is still around, but Roman, you know, Roman being part-time doesn't, but so Cody is, as he said tonight, QB1, but those types of guys don't grow on trees. And Cena was a blank slate in so many ways that he was perfect for that time in that post-Hogan. Okay, we're moving on from the new generation and the Attitude Era, and we're trying to find something that takes us back, but something that takes us forward. He was just a man there, and I still wish AEW would find a guy to focus on, and it drives me nuts that there's not a Cena-type guy with a great work rate and can cut a promo in AEW that would satisfy the various factions of the AEW audience.
I think Strickland can grow into it.
Okay. After this week, because this gets into my thing. Every show this week, including tonight's SmackDown, had a great promo on it. CM Punk had an awesome promo, I thought, on Raw. Gunther as well. Gunther, just the one line, "I made you tap like a bitch," and he's out. And I'm like, there you go. There's my star. Ricky Saints on NXT. God, he is so miscast as a babyface, and now that he's a heel, he can be that natural, cocky, undersized, almost a dandy in some ways, because, man, what wrestlers talk about how they smell? Cody tonight as well.
Dandy, that too.
but there's some, I mean, at least according to hardcore AEW fans versus people like me, what did you think of the MJF promo? Because I thought it was absolute money. And a lot of people didn't like it. They didn't like the staging of it, especially because of the, you know, three guys listen to one guy talk and they don't do anything about it and they don't say anything about it. But MJF, to me at least, and I'll give my opinion and then I'll give you your chance here. He came out and my mom was watching AEW with me, and my mom hates wrestling. She hates Jon Moxley because he bleeds. You know, it's just one of these things. She gets scared for the wrestlers and stuff, but she watched MJF and she asked me, does that guy have actor training? Cause he's awesome. And he holds himself well. He controls the situation. I thought he cut a pretty good promo for the most part there's some fourth wall breaking that you have to excuse, but the attitude was all there. And except for Joe, I don't think Strickland or Hangman can hang with either Joe or MJF on the stick. And I think that's a problem. And I think it's because they haven't had, you know, the reps. And it's one of these things where, like, I found Hangman to be such a weak champion, and I still do. And I think he's a good, I mean, yeah, sure, he's the emotional emo cowboy, but let's show some sack here. And really, because like when he starts a promo and he has his emotion and he starts in the middle, he's awesome. But this exposition crap he did this week, that's old Hangman, and I hate that. Swerve feels like he's trying to put on an aura that isn't exactly there. I don't know. I mean, he's trying to be cool at the same time as being violent, and it's not working for him. I wish he would just pick the violent choice and go with it. Joe's going to be Joe. Joe's going to be awesome. But MJF came out here and eviscerated everybody and left. And I was shocked that they made this a four-way. But is there any way you put the title on anybody other than MJF after this show?
No way. No way, Jose. That's it's got to be him. I think that Joe gets to pick whoever takes over. And no way is it going to go to Hangman. I'm with you on the one of the most overrated wrestlers working today.
I did say that. Now, hold on. Don't get me in trouble here. I think he works well. I just don't think he, man, his whole, and I said this before and people got angry at me. He has beta male energy. And I just think that's bad for a wrestling champion for the most part, because everything you do, it's like, okay, you're a comic book guy. It's like having a hero who is kind of one note, so all of his personality is going to come through his villains kind of a thing. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say Wally West Flash, but Wally West Flash. You know, maybe even Barry Allen, maybe just Flash in general. You know, oh, he runs fast. Okay, who do we have? You know, you have the Rogues, who are all personable and stuff like that. I find him to be so milquetoast and white bread, and it's like, you're a Hangman. You know, I want the cowboy shit. And he only gives it to me in short bursts, but when he does, it's awesome. But that needs to be the character all the time. And I just go, and for Swerve, he's doing exposition all the time. I think that's his problem. Instead of, you know, how does he feel? Because he's trying to keep the, you know, I'm stoic, I'm this, I'm that. No, let me know how you feel, and then I can get into you. Instead, it's, you know, I thought MJF, comparing him to Diddy and saying he was a bad rapper. I'm just like, my God. Which, my mom wanted to know why the hell Nana was dancing all the time too, but I couldn't explain that, to be honest with you. But yeah, I sorry to power talk here. I'll cut myself off in a second. But MJF just came out there, ruled the roost, left. I'm like, why are you not building this entire company around MJF and Mercedes? Those are your two stars in AEW. I get the work rate people. I get the Continental Classic fans. I find Continental Classic about as enjoyable as watching an industrial film, to be honest with you, because it's just, it's, you know, it's fine. It's good wrestling, but it's like, and this is where I get, and we may have a bit of a tete-a-tete on this. I watch pay-per-views for the good wrestling. I watch weekly wrestling for the build and the heat. That is my thing. And I get that people, well, don't you like wrestling? I go, I like wrestling, but this is emotion. It's cromulent, emotionless, well-executed choreography. And I love the Pac Fletcher match, but I don't know why these guys want to be in this tournament and why, you know, how they feel about each individual match, because that's all going on their social media and YouTube and sometimes Collision, I guess, which I don't watch all that often. So I don't know. Anything you want to take me apart on that, you can go for it.
Oh man, the Continental Classic is unapologetically just a G1 tribute band, and it's a lot of fun that where they actually pay some attention to booking ahead of time instead of just whatever we felt like that week.
And okay, hold on though. Where's the fun? Is the fun in everybody going through the scores and wondering what's gonna happen next in the match and the ending, like playing like Booker or something? Because I'm just like watching, I go, why would a 13-year-old enjoy this?
Because it is not for the 13-year-old.
I know that too.
It's for the fantasy football guy. It's okay. For, you know, the people watching Stephen A. Smith. It's meant to draw in that demographic. That's what I think it's for.
Okay. No, I get that. I had a thought earlier today. And I think because so many people, like, the fans of AEW love AEW for what it is. But how long are those fans going to stay around once, like, the Kennys retire and the Bucks retire? And they don't have, I mean, they have, you know, young guys, but they're young guys who do wrestling matches. Once, and no young people who watched wrestling, like, I don't know what got you hooked in wrestling, but for me, it was promos and the fake fighting. I liked the heat. I liked the feud. These guys will fake fight, or they'll talk trash, fake fight, and they'll be doing it the next week. So they weren't actually hurt. Okay, cool. You know, kind of a thing, or pretending to be those guys. I've never heard of children who, like, go and want to do, like, a five-star match out on the field, like on the football field or something like that. It's just one of these things where I get worried that AEW is going to age out their audience as their talent ages out. And you're just going to be, I don't know. I guess I'm worried that there's no emotion in this product, that it's just out there and we're doing this wrestling and here's the matches. And we'll have a little bit of an angle here and there, and, you know, the timeless love bombs will do their thing and you'll laugh. I mean, I guess that's okay, but it's still one of these things where it feels like an emotionally cold product to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me in terms of interacting with an audience. It's like, here's your wrestling match. Now go rate it and compare your star ratings with your friends.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
No, you're not wrong. It's designed for Twitter. It's like wrestling for Twitter. It's they lambast WWE about being, oh, it's just moments, moments, moments. But they do know how to shock and awe and really make that connection with their fans, that we're seeing AEW die on the vine without it when it comes to their live attendance. I remember at the beginning, I really had to use some capital, some social capital, to ensure us with good seats at all AEW events. And now, you can walk up to the front and, you know, get on the Ticketmaster and get 4 tickets and not even use 2. It's wild, yeah. Man.
Yeah, WWE goes hard in the melodrama, which I don't necessarily like, but their strength is they connect with their audience. I mean, the Yeet stuff and LA Knight's promos, and now Joe Hendry being in there, and that's what's going to be a positive for him is, I mean, that's how Enzo Amore became a millionaire with his dumb shtick. And, you know, if you get the call and response thing in WWE, you're money. And it's not that I want that in AEW. It feels like at times, especially in the upper echelons of the company, that they don't want to do that basic retail politicking of promos, media, hard sells, you know, the stuff that seems carny to people, which is part of its charm. But I mean, that's just me.
Well, but being an AEW fan, I feel like that company loves me. And being a WWE fan, I feel like that company despises me. And
That's true. They don't need you. I wouldn't say despise you, but they don't need you if you don't want to watch. AEW does love their fans. I wish they'd do meet and greets again. You know when they used to do those before pay-per-views and stuff like that, and then MJF didn't show up and took a flight out of Vegas?
That's in character, really.
Yeah, that's true, too. It's one of these things where it's like, it feels like they changed from we're a company that loves our fans and really wants to meet you and stuff like that to we like our fans and we're going to give you what you want, but, you know, keep your distance a little bit. Maybe that's... I don't know.
Absolutely. That's why they're losing market share. That's why they're losing live attendance, is because it's just kind of where they show up and the thrill is gone with a lot of them. Like, go talk to Dory at the Victory Roll Cafe in Indiana. You know, she'll tell you that, like, the bloom's kind of off the rose and maybe it'll come back, but they are thinking about developing that fan base out of these originals that were connected with everything, but they're building it falsely. Like you were talking about Hangman. Hangman's supposed to be the woke cowboy, but his whole character is a guy who lynches people, and his longest standing antagonist happens to be an African-American man. Like,
wow.
you're not really going to have a believable character of the woke cowboy with the Hangman. I'm sorry. It's like how many of those guys have you known over the years who want to talk about, oh, I'm a feminist. But then you see them like have more one night stands and more abusive crap with girls. It's like they're compensating. You see what I'm saying? Like they lack real authenticity.
It's like wearing your empathy as like a skin or whatever. And it's like, I get that a bit. Yeah, especially the feminism thing. Yeah, it's gimmick.
Yeah.
It's all pro wrestling a little bit. But you wanted to talk about the WB merger. Now go into your thing.
Oh, I am very interested in a world media level. I'm worried about the state of wrestling right now. I think it's good that we are seeing people still getting TV deals, but how everything's sort of homogenizing a bit really worries me. There's not like Lucha, the Hidden Temple, and Robert Rodriguez's stuff.
L Rey Network. Yeah.
Yeah. Like re-energized my love of wrestling so much. And so it's weird that a lot of the guys I really liked back then are now all AEW guys. And so that's really what's keeping me hanging on to, and what brought me over to WWE, because I had to keep following the Lucha Brothers. And I'm very curious to see if I'm actually a stockholder for Warner Brothers, and I have already made my decision on what I'm going with, just because we've got Netflix who is going to take all the movie stuff, and we have Paramount who wants to take everything, and I've just been trying to learn more about what this all means, because my business with the Soda Pop Comics is connected to the industry, which overall, year-over-year comic book sales have now grown by almost 20% from 2024.
Really?
Yes. And everybody always seems shocked by that.
I am.
It is. Well, Absolute Batman issue 1 is going to sell 1 million copies. And that's the first time a comic book has sold 1 million copies since the 90s.
Okay. Because I knew that, like Golden Apple is the big comic store out here where I am at LA, and
yes,
collecting basically took a nosedive with the advent of digital comics, especially. So that shocks me. That so is that a million print or a million with like licenses and stuff like that for digital?
With print.
That's impressive. That really is.
12 reprintings presently of Batman issue one. And this Absolute is kinda, Batman issue one.
And the Absolute comics are kind of like the Marvel version of the Ultimate type stuff. Is that what that is?
Yeah, they basically got tired of watching Marvel mess up the Ultimate Universe opportunity and said, we're going to do this right. And boy, howdy are they.
Is Jeff Johns in charge of it? Because it'll be nothing but crime syndicate stuff.
No. Nope. Jeff's off in independent creator land.
Oh, is he? Okay. I didn't realize that. I had some dealings with him early in his career at Warner Brothers.
How did that go?
He was fine. I mean, it wasn't anything deep or anything like that. So it was just passing. When I heard, we had mutual friends, so I thanked him for bringing the Rogues back for the most part.
Yep.
We got a little bit nerded out because I was not a Mark Wade guy, but I'm getting off track here. Hold on. I'll get back.
I do that. That's my fault. I'm sorry.
No. You're good. I will talk about anything that strikes my fancy. I will talk about comics forever because I collected them forever, but... So which deal are you favoring? Because it sounds like they're favoring the lesser money deal with Netflix and have rejected Paramount, but I still think Paramount's going to try for a hostile takeover here.
Well, I'm helping them because I already signed my shares over to their deal because as a lover of the theater, I feel like Netflix will use that opportunity to undermine the live theater business as much as possible. And all other concerns kind of fall by the wayside to me.
So you're the minority then, because most people would rather they go with Netflix and go away from the Ellisons, who they just view as evil corporate, you know.
Well, I think evil corporate's a tad redundant.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, and in terms of wrestling, I don't think it matters. I think people who are scared... Like, yes, Netflix is a WWE partner, but I could see a situation, like, I think it's, number one, I hate streaming. I hate all these I hate that every company decided, oh, why is someone else profiting from our content? We'll just make our own streaming platform. And then they just make a bunch of crap. Like, I find Peacock annoying in more ways than one.
Well, they're the worst.
But... It's one of these things where I think it's going to be, and Garrett Gonzalez, a friend of mine who runs Fight Game Media, I think he has this correct. I think while Netflix is a WWE partner and WWE might try and use that leverage to keep it off, I think they just want people on the app, and I think HBO Max would be its own separate shingle, and then people would go in there and it would just be the same old Max that they've always had. And if AEW is a hit with that Max crowd, they'll just keep it on there. I don't see, like, people are panicking because they think there's going to be all these like backroom machinations and stuff by WWE. And there might be, don't get me wrong. There might be, but I think the more people that Netflix can get on and using their service and staying on the service for longer and whatnot, that's the end game. They could give a crap if it's two competing franchises. They just want the content on there. And look, I loved Netflix when it was a DVD business. When they went to streaming and when they eventually got all their movies taken away because all these other people wanted to keep it, and they start buying all this disposable crap. And they, you know, every Netflix documentary they made, it was like Sam Cooke, you know, he was killed but was he really killed by the government? There was always that point in a Netflix documentary where they'd always ask if it was a conspiracy. And you're just like, no, these things are straight ahead. I don't view Netflix. I mean, Netflix has some good movies and they rotate them out, which is good, but most of the stuff they buy is cheap and disposable, and that's how they like it. I mean, let's buy this show from South Korea and redub it and put it on there, and it becomes a hit. I don't share people's panic over WWE and AEW being on the same service, because I don't think initially there'd be a problem. I really don't, but I could see one, but I really don't. I'm not panicked about it. What about you?
No, panic? No way, guys. You don't think Cody Rhodes and Ricky Saints aren't dying to go storming into a load up to the forbidden door? Like
That won't happen. That won't ever happen.
But you never say never, man. Like, I'm always excited for the possibilities of wrestling. I'm not one who's a doomsayer. I have loved wrestling my whole life, and I am not alone. And the cream will rise to the top, no matter what the corporate evil machinations behind the scenes at TKO, which I think are extremely valid concerns. There's nothing wrong with that. Those guys are just killers, man. Though they are, when you talk about Shark Tank, think about that board of TKO.
Yes, yes. No, I mean, Shapiro, Khan. I mean, I kind of know some of the Khan family through comedy writing. Yeah. The Rock. But The Rock's, you know, The Rock's just going to do whatever will pay him.
He's coming back for Saudi Arabia next time, right? For the next WrestleMania? You know he's going to.
I think now that Cena's gone, he'll come back and do a match, which sucks, because it should have been. That last match should have been Cena and The Rock. And it should have been Cena beating The Rock. And it's just, going, and this is kind of very lazy rivery, so this is nice. Boy, wasting half of that guy's last year on a stupid heel turn that they didn't want to follow through on just pisses me off over and over and over again. Because the heel turn was majestic in its execution, and then they had nothing. Because John Cena didn't really want to do it. Rock wanted Cody. Travis Scott wanted to punch people in the face.
I mean, given his history, that's you gotta have realistic expectations, you know.
Anything that you watched this week that you wanted to bring up?
Well, I would have to say that I've been rewatching the second run from Samoa Joe was such a pleasant surprise to me. I never get over the legitimate, like, I feel like WWE surprises their fans in sadistic ways, and AEW surprises their fans in, like, very surprising fun ways. And I never, ever, ever would have thought that they would pull the plug on that Hangman Reign and give it back to Joe,
I didn't either.
Yeah, he has been so underrated in his appreciation, and I think they're finally saying, hey, show us what you want to do, Joe, and I hope he stays on creatively moving forward. I would really like to see that. You were talking about the things that I like this week. I like the direction of the commentary that we're starting to see in. They're moving farther and farther away from all Excalibur all the time. We're getting a lot more Nigel. We're getting a lot more. Oh, Brian Danielson. Like, what do you say? What is it? Plug me in or hose me down or something like that.
Oh, I say hose me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Brian Danielson sitting there on that announcer's desk. That's a, not, hose me down every time. I love it. So that's where I have hope moving forward, is that some of the older stuff, if they're going to do the Legend Killer gimmick with Gunther, I've loved him since Walter. So yep. I'm fine with that. I really hope that guys like Ricky Saints and Carmella Hayes, because if Ricky Saints and Ethan Page aren't on NXT, I don't know how I can keep watching it. It's the whole thing where they jump before they punch. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And the other thing that drives me absolutely insane is when they roll off at like 2.5 because they know that's the end of the match.
Yeah.
It's so just it. it just almost makes me like nauseous every time I see him do it, because I know they're teaching him to do it.
Yeah, there's that, and you know, it's like it's a little bit of like the Kenny and the Bucks selling in that six man, and boy, I loved Hetchicero in that six man. It was such a that dude doing the little things to play peacemaker and in character the entire time. Don't get me wrong, like Okada and Takeshita were great, but just Hetchicero doing the please stay friends because I want to win this match type of stuff had me howling. I was fascinated though. I going back to NXT, I do think they have a very good women's division down there.
I don't know if that botch of the year might not support that.
Well, see, everybody's calling that a botch, and I didn't think it was at first, and then my guy at NXT told me it was. But at the same time, it's one of those happy accidents that needed to happen. Because I am, again, this is a Brian Alvarez point as well, but I am with him. They wait too long to belt people down there, and I think that's a old school Michael Hayes and Shawn Michaels and Triple H both kind of agree with him here that if you're under 21, we can't party with you in a bar, so we can't take you on the road and we can't take you to TV because you won't be able to hang with us after the show. You'll have to stay in your room and play video games or something like that. Thea Hale's been there 4 years. I mean, she was on an AEW Dark before she got picked up by them. And she has been great. And I hope they're just not going to ping pong the belt back to Blake Monroe. You know
they're going to. Come on.
I wouldn't, though. I would go through with this Jordan Grace heel turn because Jordan hasn't done jack since actually being signed. It's the weirdest thing. It's like once they sign you, don't need you anymore. And I love Kendall Gray and Maddie Ren Sinclair. I think they're just a great little duo. I think that match was a lot of fun. I think this new Fatal Influence with the redhead, I forgot her name offhand, I think it's much better now because you have three power players in there who are pretty good. Their women's division is okay. It's just the characterization is the women be fighting all the time, and just it's bad. I almost used another term. I didn't want to seem derogatory, but it's just all women secretly hate each other. I just hate that as a WWE trope. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's not as bad as trying to make Maxine Dupri a killer, but on the other hand.
Yeah, I don't feel like the women's division gets a lot of creative input. It doesn't seem that way.
They don't, but they have a lot of great wrestlers in there. And
absolutely.
It's top heavy now at the top, and you're just like, where are we going to fit all these people? Because it's like Julia is still kind of an afterthought, and you know, she's spectacular. So I'm just – they may need their own women's league. This is why I like the TNA partnership, is you can send like the youngins down there to, you know, win their titles and wrestle some veterans in there, and then you don't have to worry about the glut up top, but – thank God we still have Nikki Bella hanging around. I respect the hell out of her, but I'm just like, she doesn't have anything left in the tank in terms of in-ring for me. So I don't know. It's one of these weird things. We've gone about an hour. What else you got on your plate? Anything you want? Okay, explain to me, because you may know a little bit about this, because this will be a tie-in with AEW. What are the crossover comics with DC? What are they doing exactly?
Well, I think they're going to tie it into the current event of DC KO. They have
and that's the fighting thing that they're doing, kind of like Street Fighter, like almost like Mongols War World or something.
It's tied into the Absolute Universe and how it was created.
Okay.
The Absolute Universe was created when Darkseid died. And Darkseid has always been the thing, and it created such a wave of force that basically Darkseid had decided that he was going to embrace this anti-life equation, and that he stole the powers of the Spectre and then attacked the Justice League head on, who killed him. But it like released this wave of Omega energy that was so powerful, it created its own universe that that Darkseid is the god of. So we now have him having marshaled all his forces coming to attack our heroes in the main DC universe. And they have found the heart of Apocalypse, which was the thing that made Darkseid so powerful in our world. And now whoever is chosen as the new Omega King of DC will be the one who can defeat Darkseid. And I think they're getting ready to sunset Clark. That's my guess.
So the anti-life equation still exists, which means there's probably an anti-monitor in this universe too.
It created a universe that was like they always talked about the dark multiverse. Well, right. imagine a world created by Darkseid, and like all the heroes are nerfed, all that like Bruce Wayne grew up in Crime Alley.
Right.
It's all of them are very, very depowered, and all of the villains are just juiced. They're so powerful now.
They're all Bane. Everyone's Bane in this world. Can I just say, look, the first two comic books my father ever bought me were Crisis 1 and 2.
Nice.
When he was traveling, like I'd get comics occasionally from my aunt and stuff like that. And we have screwed up the multiverse since 1985, and we've been trying to get back to it. And now we have a dark multiverse and this thing. Okay, so how do the AEW wrestlers fit into this?
So we've already seen AEW. We've seen DCKO boss battles announced.
Okay,
where they will be going off into literal alternate worlds that WB owns, like Superman will be fighting Homelander. There will be several different, like Sub-Zero is going to be fighting, I think, Aquaman.
Chandler Bing, come on.
No, it's wild. Like Joker is going to be fighting Annabelle. Like this is real. And I think that they're going to work that in somehow with that they all get trapped on a round where they have to fight these professional wrestlers. So I don't really know how it's going to work yet, but I can't wait to send it to you.
So are the AEW people going to have superpowers, or are they going to just be wrestlers fighting? Okay, I'm here for this kind of. I guess.
Whenever they do these different rounds of battle, the rules change for each round. That's why it's like a video game. You're getting to see lots of different versions of the character. Like all battles are to the death, so that's kind of fun. Like Zatanna just murdered the crap out of Harley Quinn this week, which was long overdue. And then Zatanna overcame the plot armor and stepped up to the battle.
Earth 3 Kenny Omega. That's what I want. That'll be something, I guess. It was weird when they announced it. It's like, okay, cool. They got like graphics up here. Maybe they'll be. Like, I was thinking the Amalgam universe where, like, okay, Kenny Omega is going to be, I don't know, the Flash or something like that. But no, they're going to be themselves in the comics fighting on these battle worlds. All right, let's see. Who's writing it?
Well, I haven't gotten the creative teams yet.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I think that everybody got real spooked by the WB acquisition. And, I think everybody pump the brakes for a minute.
Yeah, turn it into the old DC challenge where it's like you're left hanging. You're like, oh, no. Cool. Well, this has been fun. Let's get your plugs in. Give some links to whatever you want and any social media you want people to follow you at.
Yeah, guys, just check us out anywhere you download podcasts. Soda Pop Comics, and it's spelled COMIX. We cover all of the releases from the Marvel's X-Men line and DC's Absolute Comics, and we argue and argue and argue about wrestling for no apparent reason, just because we like talking about it. Thanks, everybody. Be sure to like and subscribe. We are sponsored by Funko.com, and we give away a new Funko every episode. They've been giving us the Bitty Pop toy sets that have been coming out. We got all the convention exclusives this year. So we've had people joke about, we listened to your show for the eBay, and we got our first celebrity endorsement today. I got Jewel State. Kaylee from Firefly sent us a endorsement video talking about her upcoming interview, and I just had to share that moment of victory because I made a joke one episode that the purpose of the show was to interview all of the living members of the Serenity crew, and apparently someone put that in front of her. So, Jeff, this has been a real a real affirming thing. This has like been a real validating thing, man. Because
the pause there made me nervous. This has been real.
No, God, no, I've been trying to not fangirl out on you, buddy. But you are someone that I have considered a kindred spirit who dragged me kicking and screaming back into the WWE, and I am just thankful for this opportunity, and I hope I get to talk to you again soon. And thanks to everybody at Voices of Wrestling. You guys are my heroes.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And since there won't be another show beforehand, I don't think, we're going to try and get another one out before the end of the year. But Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, kids, from Shake Them Ropes. Talk to you later. Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.